Transition week in the hockey world on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. We're going from the second round into the conference finals. Still one game to go as we record this with game seven coming up between Buffalo and Montreal. And then we'll kick things off with the final four.
Yes, game seven. I don't think anybody really thought there'd be a game seven in the Montreal-Buffalo series, particularly after Montreal was up 3-1 in the first period on Saturday night's game at the Bell Centre, and the place was like a volcano, just erupting. And then, you know, there was a couple of things that happened. You know, the Canadians took a four-minute minor, and Jason Zucker scored, the change in goaltenders, and the rest of the night became all Buffalo, which was stunning to think how quickly the worm turned. Particularly, it was almost the exact opposite of what we saw in Game 5 in Buffalo on Thursday night. So who knows what will happen in Game 7 at this point. It's quite remarkable.
It's the most unpredictable goaltending I've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs in a long, long time.
And we really shouldn't be surprised about that, Darren. If you look at the bodies of work of the three goaltenders, they've been inconsistent a lot of their careers.
And but other series too, right? Like across the board, it's been up and down. Well, Minnesota, Colorado changed goaltenders. They're 8-1.
Yeah, perhaps that speaks to where the position is right now in the game and how teams aren't or are adapting to quality goaltending. I mean, the Vezina Trophy is going to be certainly won by one person, but who's the best goalie in hockey right now?
Vasilevsky.
Is he?
Hellebuck.
Really? And yet, one guy didn't make the regular season or didn't finish in the playoffs, and the other guy got knocked out in the first round. Yeah. And you know, we've always talked about over the years with goaltending is that, you know, steal me a game, steal me a series. We don't see that right now. It's crazy. Now, Jakub Dovish is a fantastic story on so many different levels. But at the same time, you know, the wheels fell off on Saturday night for him. And it will be fascinating to see whether he can get back to what he was throughout this playoff run that he's had. In game seven versus the Sabres.
What's your take on the Winnipeg situation with Connor Hellebuyck right now? There's some discussion that they may listen to potential plays with Hellebuyck going elsewhere. Given what Connor said at the end of the season, yeah, which is fueling this.
Let me put an asterisk on that a little bit. It's very quiet in Winnipeg right now.
Yes.
Not just about Hellebuyck, but it's very quiet in Winnipeg. And I'm not sure what
you're talking about, the coach.
I'm talking about everything. You know, what are they doing? How are they approaching the draft? Things are quite quiet in Winnipeg as we speak. I mean, there are certainly some players playing at the World Championships, but are we still waiting for things to happen in the NHL before the Jets make some decisions on certain scenarios? I certainly hope Scott Arneil is back as coach, there's been nothing out there that leads me to believe that change is coming there, but it's been relatively quiet. I think people were disappointed with Connor Hellebuyck when he said. Whether it be fans or whether, and I haven't talked to people with inside the organization on his comments. I know that when I heard them, I went, you know, that's ballsy, Connor. That's really ballsy. You know, you play the way you played at certain times. You had you didn't have to have that surgery when you did. It was semi-elective surgery. So you could prepare for the Olympics. You did your job for the Olympics, and you came back, and you still couldn't get your team to the postseason. And this is how you're acting now. I was a little disappointed in Connor Hellebuyck for what he said.
I don't mind athletes speaking their mind. We heard it, Dylan Larkin, a year ago.
Yeah, and you know, perhaps Steve Yzerman's right about Dylan Larkin now. Maybe, and I'm not saying that he's down on him. I'm just saying, you know, when is Dylan Larkin going to become that number one center? You know, I know he was hurt at the end of the season too. So it's the challenge of these guys saying, you know, we need more help, we need this and we need that. Yeah, you do. But perhaps that's something you say internally rather than externally. And perhaps they both did. So but I was disappointed in Hellebuck with what he said in his exit interview, simply because I think that the Winnipeg Jets did everything they could to help Connor Hellebuck, both personally and with on the team side. And now's not the time for him to make a stand. I truly believe that.
Stick tap to you. First time that we've quoted Shakespeare on 100% Hockey.
Well.
And it wasn't with ballsy when you said ballsy. That wasn't it. But as the verb turns, it's a Shakespearean proverb way back when. And it's not about worms. It's about snakes. So, it really does refer to snakes standing up.
Like grade 9 English, is that where you learned that?
And Google.
Imagine if we had Google.
As the worm turns. We haven't heard As the Worm Turns in a long time. And on this podcast, I don't remember it.
I tell you what, you always accuse me of having old slogans and old
phrases. I think it's cool.
You know, As the Worm Turns. You know, I was actually going to ask Alec Martinez on Friday if he'd ever had a hip pointer, you know, but I forgot, you know, because you accused me on the radio show of, you accused me on the radio show.
You don't
show
hear hip pointer very often anymore.
Well, you don't. I hear it all the time. Yeah. I hear it all the time. By the way, today's a holiday in Canada for all of our American listeners. And we have a show and, we will have a show next Monday when it's a holiday in the United States for all our listeners in Canada.
And we're going to celebrate Victoria Day in Canada by visiting with Doug McLean,
who lives not far from Victoria, Prince Edward Island.
Right. Victoria by the Sea.
There you go.
One of the couple of great restaurants over there.
Huge celebrity dropping the puck at the Centennial Cup on Friday in Summerside. That's why he got booked, because he's a celebrity.
Yeah. He was trending.
Yeah. Because it's pretty bad, though, when he has to put out his own tweets about him dropping the puck, though. That's pretty bad.
When we start the conversation with Doug here in a second, put a little dot in one corner and then do a graph on how many different topics we touched on and just follow along and see what the graph looks like at the end. I guarantee you it'll be different. I don't know where we're going to go here with Doug.
The price of oil. That's what it'll be.
Well, that's straight up. That's what that is right now. Well, we'll be back with Doug McLean next on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
All right, we're back and we're recording on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon and Doug McLean. We can keep doing this. I just want to make sure that we're not missing any good stuff.
Okay, well, Mac? There's nothing good, really. I mean, I haven't been following things very closely. I was been tied up following the Western Capitals in the Centennial Cup.
Yeah. Good showing, getting to the championship game. Hell of a game.
It was, you know what? It was pretty special. 10 teams are here in Summerside for whatever it is, 10 days. And the Caps really started off slow. And then they get to the final last night. 4,500 people in the building last night. Sold out.
Good.
So, and it was amazing. They built that building in Summerside 20 years ago I was talking to the former mayor, $44 million they paid for it 20 years ago. And they wrote a check this week for the last payment on the building. It's totally paid for.
No way.
Yeah. Is that amazing? And the condition I sat in the stands there with Clark one night, and then we were invited to the owner's box, so we're up there the last three games. But it is spectacular, the shape, the condition that building in.
So, what's the owner's box like?
It's not like Mr. McConnell's was in Columbus, but it was nice, you know.
The food and okay?
I had to go next door to a fisherman from Tignish who had one next door, and Gerard Gallant was in there. So I went in and I got a piece of pizza from them and come back. But they did have beer.
The last time I remember you being in an owner's box or eating the owner's food was in Florida, and that didn't go well.
No, like, yeah, exactly. Because Doug Sifu told me, you know, he said, you know, you're eating my food. I said, well, the last time I looked, you're a 5% owner, so I'd say you only own 5% of the food here.
Hope you were nicer to this owner.
David Groom. Anyway. So,
well, congratulations to Niverville as well.
Manitoba. That's yes. Right outside Winnipeg.
Yeah.
They were good. They played really well last night, you know. Anyway, that's my activities. Besides that, I've been getting the flower boxes ready. I'm home here at the cottage, and Jill's going to be another week. She stayed in Cincinnati with Mackenzie to do a horse show, so I'm here solo. Newman and I drove home 1,570 miles. Newman was glad to see the end of me when we landed at BEI.
Did he go to the back seat the whole time, or is he in the front seat?
He was in the back seat in his car seat. Anyway.
What do you think of this, John?
When you get two Islanders together, it is unstoppable.
I'm not an Islander, right, Doug?
Yeah. Well, there's so much to talk about. You know, you got the
part-time John Islander.
Millard has been very, very quiet on the Tortorella media situation. I haven't heard any comments from you other than they're going to get their second round pick back. But
the National Hockey League opened up the appeal process, which tells me that there's an avenue to state your case, which the National Hockey League doesn't automatically do that. Usually they come down with a fine or a penalty
as Doug will tell you, they do that. They just don't make it as public as they did this time.
Yeah. So what would he be thinking about? Like, tell me where I'm missing here.
I think there's mitigating circumstances. I really do. I think they were trying to get out of Dodge quickly. I think they had curfews at airports. I think there was lots of things that we probably haven't heard the end of. But you know, the reality is he should have done a press conference at the end, and more players should have been made available, and life goes on.
And if it's a curfew thing, like we used to have curfews in San Jose every time we went into San Jose, to get out of there. And, you know, you still had time.
But all those playoff games that you played in San Jose. Oh, never mind. Then that's the thing. I mean, whether it was a curfew at John Wayne Airport in Orange County or whatever. But we'll wait and see. I mean,
I actually was involved in a playoff game in San Jose, and you'll recall it when Scotty got locked in the dressing room between periods. He couldn't get out, remember?
Yeah.
Scotty and the assistant coaches got locked in the coach's room, couldn't get nobody knew why he wasn't on the bench.
That's almost as bad as the one when the Philadelphia Flyers were playing a playoff game in Atlanta. And Fred Shiro went for a walk for his pregame smoke and opened the door and went outside and got locked out of the arena.
Didn't he get mugged?
No, he got locked. No, that was a different. That was in another series. But he got locked out of the locked out of the arena, and so he's wandering around trying to find a door, and he's trying to convince the guy at the door that he's the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. He says, "There's no way you're the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers."
And you kind of got to side with the security guard on that one.
So going back to San Jose, Scotty got locked in the coach's room, and Scotty never talks about that series because San Jose beat Detroit. And yeah. Brian and I got fired after the series, and Scotty stayed for another 5 years and won a bunch of cups.
But that was when those you could choose the 2-3-2 system, right? Whether you wanted to do the travel or do three games in San Jose. That was which was was tough to do. That, by the way, if you talk to the New York Islanders, that's the way they got screwed out of their fifth consecutive Stanley Cup. Exactly. Was the Oilers and Islanders played a 2-3-2 in 84. And the Oilers won. If you talk to any of those Islander players, they'll say, no, if we went 2-2, 1-1-1, we would have still won.
Yeah. Well, I heard about it once a week because Billy Smith was my goalie coach in Florida. So I heard a lot about it. and him fighting Gretzky. Remember Stick and Gretzky?
Oh.
I love Billy. Anyway. Well, that's good. Well, it's great to... I appreciate you having me on, guys. It's really,
Well, I figured, your first weekend back on the island and you're being a celebrity, dropping the puck at the big event on, was that Friday? You dropped the puck on Friday?
It was the quarterfinal game. But I also, I appreciate that. But I also know that when you're really desperate, you phone me.
No, it's a holiday. No, that is not true. It's a holiday. Holiday content should be lighter. It shouldn't be serious. That's why you're on.
Yeah, and I'm very light.
Holiday in Canada.
I'm very light.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my buddy JJ, who Darren, come over and boosted my Jeep. I put it away this winter, and I was going to put the trickler batteries on it on the jet ski and the Jeep in the garage, and I had it all set up to do it. And JJ comes over. Brings me over some lobster to take back to Florida. I tell him I was just doing my boot. He said, oh, no, you can't. You got to get those off there. If you leave that trickler on when you're gone for 7 months and you get a short, your grabs will be burnt down.
Oh, so okay. JJ saved you.
So JJ saved me. But I also said, okay, that's the case. Then I want you here to boost it when I get home. So he showed up this morning with his... he's got all the big trucks there and he's got the big booster. So he come over and boosted the Jeep while I'm on. I drove in town. I shut it off. And then I thought, I got to do this show for now. So it's out in the driveway still running. So anyway.
Right now it's not running right now, is it?
Yeah, I left it running because I'm scared the battery. It's either going to run out of gas or the battery's going to die. I'm not sure.
Well, you should be good now. It's been running for an hour.
Yeah, when I shut it off and then I started, it was like, so I may need a new battery.
Like us waking up every day.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the playoffs are good, eh?
I want to know your opinion on not the playoffs because we'll get to that, but Toronto and Edmonton are both looking for head coaches. Are they looking for different types of head coaches?
I would definitely say they're most definitely looking for different types of coaches. I see today Toronto have asked for permission or have asked about David Carl in Denver. Did you see that, Shanny?
Yeah. And, I don't think he's changing his mind, Doug.
Yeah, and Chyka sort of made the comment when they fired Berube that this is a structural. They always have to use cool words, when they're defining what they're doing. So I got to get used to that. But it's a structural situation, and that goes along with the alignment of belly and all the his jargon. So I would think they will hire a younger guy to grow with, which is nothing wrong with that, in my opinion, if you can find the right guy, So,
Doesn't it really depend what your roster's like?
Yeah, and I don't know what their roster's like. Because right today, I would be petrified as to what I'm just going off what I watched last year. And I know they weren't hitting on all cylinders, and I understand style of play and things, but that team, they want to play. The media keeps saying in Toronto, they're going to play more of a puck possession game. And I understand that. But the one thing when you want to play a puck possession game, what you really need to start that off is you need defensemen who can pass you the puck out of the defensive zone. Yeah. And if they don't revamp their blue line, they have very few guys that can actually move the puck to create a puck possession game. So, I'm anxious to see what they do July 1st, what they can, and it's a weak pool for free agency. What can they do trade wise? And are they going to trade any of the big guys? So it structurally, this team needs a lot of work, a lot of work. And it's a big job. So hiring the right coach is going to be critical. There's no denying that. And I wouldn't be worried about puck possession so much as just getting the right guy.
If you had your choice, you had both jobs offered to you, which one's more attractive?
That's a great question.
They both have eventful years in the rearview mirror.
That's a great question. I would always, if it was me that was still in the hunt for a coaching job, I would certainly take the Oiler job ahead of it because of David McDavid, Dreisaitl, Hyman, Boucher. You know, they need a goaltender is what they really desperately need, and they need some help in the back end. But I would definitely take the Edmonton job ahead of it because of how much Dreisaitl and McDavid want to win a cup and the pressure to win a cup, you know. And, you know, they got to find a goalie. And if they find a goalie and add a defenseman, you know. So I don't know who they'll hire. I don't think Cassidy will end up there. I said on Nick's show on Friday, I think Cassidy ends up in L.A. That's where I think he ends up.
Yeah.
That's just my own feeling, you know. And, you know, the Leafs, will they go with a Malhotra type of guy? I mentioned Trevor Letowski. Trevor Letowski has paid his dues. You know, he's been with St. Louis for a few years now. I had him as a player. He's a quality guy. He paid his dues in Sarnia in the OHL. I like Trevor a lot. I think Jeff Halpern out of Tampa, I like. He's got a great presence on the bench. I think Halpern, you know, maybe a guy that deserves a chance. So there's some good quality people out there, you know.
I don't see Malhotra getting a chance in Toronto, because if anybody has any interest in Malhotra, I think Vancouver will make a change and make him the coach in Vancouver, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I would think so.
Doesn't that make the most sense? I mean, Ryan Johnson and he have been together for three or four years now.
Sometimes that's why you don't hire somebody you've been together too long. They were in last. I noticed they finished last in the American League this year.
Yeah, but if you look at the roster they had to work with and the amount of injuries they had, I think the story of the year before when they went 26-1 to get into the playoffs and win the Calder Cup are probably more valuable.
I can see, you know, I don't know if Adam Foote will survive. I hope he does. I like Adam. And, you know, I had Manny too. I'm not a big Manny fan, but I had him for a few years. He's not a big Doug McLean fan either, trust me. So, you know, we'll see that where that works out. But, you know, there's good quality people out there. So they'll find the right guy. And I'm not surprised Berube was let go. It didn't work for Craig there. Not that Craig's not a good coach, but it just didn't work there. They're not an easy team to coach, in my opinion.
How important is a coaching hire at this stage of the Toronto Maple Leafs development? Is it vital, or is it just a stopgap?
I would call it more of a disposal hire, you know?
Yeah.
The one that's going to be that you're going to know you're going to have to dispose of before you really get the guy you're really
going to get. Because there are those hirings where you have stopgaps, like just get us through the next little bit.
Exactly. That's quite a sell job for David Carl.
Yeah. Well, and then I hear, like, I know he's won three championships in Denver, and I don't know the guy. I know he was at UMass Amherst, and he was a good, solid guy there, but people are telling me, well, he really wants to have a say in personnel. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This is the NHL. I'm sorry. This isn't the USHL. This is the NHL. And you've got to be maybe Scotty Bowman if you're going to put those demands on your general manager that you want to have personnel say, you know? Most GMs would say to a guy like Carl when he came in for an interview, you what? You want what? Mm-hmm. You want a person? Oh, okay. Stay in Denver. Anyway.
You see, Toronto has made some changes, though, with the front office after Chyka's come in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they can do without five assistant GMs, don't you?
Sure.
It's a lot.
In 1987, when I was with the St. Louis Blues, we had nine people in the hockey operations department, including the coaches. We had nine people. And when I added it up this year, when I was writing my new book, I had Toronto at 75, I think, people in their hockey operations department. It's changed a little, you know?
75? I didn't know that number.
75. Well, they have 12 in there.
Are you making that up?
No, they had 12. They have 12 in there. They had 12 in their analytics department.
But did that include, does that include scouts?
Oh, yeah. That's hockey operations. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was led to believe it was even higher than 75.
So. Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I counted. And I just went off the guide, you know, that's where I looked at. And I, you know, there was, you know, 55 is a pretty even, you know, pretty fair number. But that we were, and I'm thinking when I was with the Panthers, we probably had 8 or 9 or 10. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy now all of a sudden. I mean, they're guys tell me they walk into the hockey operations department. And Jimmy D said to me, he said, what do all these guys do? That's what Jimmy D said. What do all these guys do? and then somebody told me there's GMs in the league that haven't talked to their scouts in a year. You know, the assistants, they got so many assistant GMs, they talk to the scouts. The GM doesn't have to talk to the scouts. Like, what is going on anyway? That now I'm not saying that's the norm, but it was really interesting when I was writing this book and talking to people about the hockey operations department and how they work and how, what the GM role is with the hockey operations department. You know, some were, you know, a lot of them were very similar to even when I was in the game, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years, whatever it was. And today there's some that, you know, it's really different how they're operating, you know? So anyway, book comes out first Tuesday in October, by the way, guys. And it's,
oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask.
It's called
you got a title.
The Uncensored Day in a Life of an NHL. No, The Uncensored Life of an NHL General Manager is the name of the book. It's called Game Day, The Uncensored Life of an NHL General Manager.
Hmm.
I like
so Game Day is the title, and then you'll like your fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh books will all be Game Day, and then the subtitles to it.
No, because no, the first one was Draft Day.
Yeah.
And then the second one's this is Game Day.
So we got a working theory.
The third one's coming out is Fired Day. Yeah. And then Doug can talk to all the guys. What was that like to get fired?
Yeah, well, I had a little chapter in there on getting fired in this one. You know, it was one of the most bizarre things that ever happened to me. I'll tell you a little story. JP McConnell, who owns it, he's a son, and he told me, he said, we're about the owner's meeting. He said, oh, no, you're safe. You're fine. Everything's going to be good. No problem. Because it was 50-50 whether I was getting fired. So I go to the owner's meeting, and I invite Hitchcock to come to the owner's meeting. And so I didn't like the vibe through the meeting. And then they asked me, by the way, JP McConnell didn't show up for the meeting. He was in Mexico with his girlfriend. The guy that told me I was safe was in Mexico with his girlfriend. So I didn't feel a little So then,
where would you rather be?
Yeah, tell me about it. But anyway, so I'm there and the Mr. McConnell says, Doug, would you leave the room and we just want to have a talk. So I leave the room and go in with my CFO, who was also there. We both went in the bar and sat there. Hitchcock stayed in the meeting. He stayed in the meeting with the owners. And I left. And then an hour and a half later, after sitting in the bar, Mr. McConnell called me in and said he was the only one. All the rest of them scurried out the back door. And Mr. McConnell's the only one sitting there. He said, well, we decided we're going to make a change. The media don't like you. And I said, oh, you're going to listen to the media. Media is going to run your team. And I said, okay, thank you. So it took 15. I was there 11 years with him, and it took 15 seconds to fire me. So anyway, it was good.
Who picked up the tab at the bar?
Well, it was his golf course. It was his golf course. So everything was free there. I used to go there quite a bit. Cigars and booze was free.
And the golf course was pretty damn good too.
Oh my God, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So the guy one more on the fired, coaches. The guy that got me fired was Mr. Wolf, who owned the Columbus Dispatch. He's the guy that made he's a he was a minority owner, and he's the guy that got me fired.
Oh.
No denying, no doubt in my mind. And as a matter of fact, Hitchcock even told me that after.
Really? Did you ever call him on it?
No, because I hadn't seen him. I didn't see him, and then he died shortly after. So oh. I didn't go to his funeral, but he died shortly. Probably, I would say within about 6 months, he maybe died. So anyway.
Wow.
So it was like 11 years and 15 seconds to get fired, you know? Anyway, it was okay. They owed me $1 million, so I felt okay about that.
What did you buy with $1 million? You didn't just put it in the bank.
But it's like these guys.
You'd have to ask Jill that question, Darren.
You had to do something. You had to treat yourself a little bit to that $1 million.
You know what?
Another red car.
No, I bought a new Porsche. That's what.
Attaboy.
So
that's a Doug I know and love.
So that tweaks me to, you know, Chris Knobloch gets fired and his extension hasn't even been put into play yet. He's got 3 years.
Yeah,
Craig has two years.
Now, when I get fired in Washington as assistant coach, I had 2 weeks left in my contract. Jill was pregnant for McKenzie or for Clark. She was pregnant for McKenzie, and I had $500 in my bank account, and I had to be out of the U.S. within 2 weeks because I lost my medical coverage. So, Jill and David Poile, I wouldn't say they probably have spent a lot of time together since firing. $500 in my bank account. That's what it cost me to drive home, I think. So anyway. Oh my,
I couldn't imagine how stressful that would be.
Oh no. Oh, and had to leave because our medical in the U.S. Yeah. We didn't have green cards. So, and then I came home that summer, and I was kind of nervous. I had my hockey school, which I was could live off of. But then I got a call. Brian Murray ended up getting the job in Detroit. But first I went and interviewed in Philadelphia with Paul Holmgren and Russ Farwell. Russ Farwell was the GM. So they called me, and Russ told me on the phone before I flew to Philadelphia, he said, I've got the assistant job in Philadelphia and I've got the head job in Hershey. And before you get on the plane, I'm guaranteeing you, you've got one of the two jobs. Guaranteed. And I've never gone into an interview where I knew I had either the head job in Hershey or the assistant. And I get there and I go to the hotel and Hitchcock is there interviewing for the assistant job in Philly. And so I interviewed and I ended up getting offered the head coaching job in Hershey. And the trainer of the Flyers was driving me to the airport and I was all excited. You know, I had the Hershey Bear job. Frank Mathers was the guy that was pushing for me because I had coached in Baltimore just the year before and we played the Hershey Bears 12 times. So Frank Mathers was pushing for me to get the job. So, and Doug Yinks, do you remember Doug Yinks who ran the Hershey Bears?
No, I don't remember.
No, but I remember Mathers. Yeah. Frank Mathers is took a over. NHL he, legend.
Frank was sort of the legend and Doug was the new guy. But anyway, I'm driving to the airport with the Flyers trainer and, my phone rings and it's Brian Murray. And he said, Doug, hey, I just got the Red Wing job and I want you to come to Detroit with me as associate head coach. So I have no jobs. And then I have one job and then I had two jobs. So then I had to phone Russ Farwell and I really appreciated Russ. I really did. And so to get the Detroit job and then, you know, I was there 5 years. So it's kind of funny how things work. And you know who my agent was? Only time I ever had an agent was Jay Grossman. And Jay is the guy that set up the deal with Doug Farwell for the job. And I really always appreciated Jay for that, you know, and I just saw that he passed away. And it's funny. I had a person I met in Florida this winter said, I'm neighbors with a guy that knows you. And he lives in Florida. He lives over on the other side of Florida. And I said, what's his name? He said, Jay Grossman. So And I said, well, make sure you say hello to him for me. Then I just saw he passed. So anyway, that's a bunch of stories. Eh? I mean, it's a holiday, you know. I'm trying to be in a festive mood, you know.
It's the meandering conversation that will continue after this break on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon, catching up with our pal Doug McClain.
Tell you what, meandering is being kind.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
It's like a beach walk when you're going down Shelton Beach,
down the lazy river.
You see that neighbor, you see the Roberts over there, and you see Claudine over there, and
you
see Doug on his perch. Like it takes a while to walk the beach.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go out here shortly and sit on my little deck on the beach, and I'm going to have a cigar. That's what I'm going to have. Because Jill's not here, and I have total freedom to smoke a cigar anytime I want, as long as it's outdoors.
The only thing you need out there on that little perch, like it's awesome. The view, the setup, everything. You need a little cooler for people that walk by. You need to be able to offer the people a refreshment while we're standing there talking to you.
You don't have to worry about that because Vance Landry was next door. He's related to the grooms. He's the son-in-law of the grooms.
Yeah.
And I was telling David Groom the other day, Vance came over and sat on my deck with me last year, and I was having a beer and a cigar, and he sits and we're talking. He comes every summer for a week or so. We're just BSing. I've known him since we were 10 years of age. And he said, you know, Doug, I wouldn't mind a cigar and a bar myself, a beer and a cigar. And he said, unless you have scotch, he said. I said, no, I got beer and I'll give you a cigar. So I don't need a cooler there. It's the last thing I need is a cooler.
People are hanging out. Can we get back to Knobloch?
Yeah.
The fact that he hasn't started his extension yet is incredible.
Bizarre. So that would tell me that. That was an owner firing is what I would read into that.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, in my opinion. I don't know the owner.
Well, the GM can't go to the owner and go, we're going to make a change here, even though he hasn't started.
That's a guaranteed owner firing and good for – you know what really bothered me about that is I know it's out there, but the Cassidy permission thing and – not telling Knobloch before that. How does that happen? I'm sorry.
Well,
people say,
they
they want to do it face to face. I call BS on that. It's just, it's wrong in so many ways, you know.
You don't think Chris knew?
I don't know, but I know it happened to Brian Murray and I when we were in Detroit and we've heard that Mike Keenan was in there interviewing, when we were working there. Remember that?
That's why
Jimmy Lights left Detroit. He got in. Jimmy Lights went after Mr. Ehlers. They had a big battle, and then Jimmy ended up going to Dallas. Because of it. And we went to the Fox Theater for a meeting. Brian and I, and the guy in the Fox Theater said, "Oh, Mike Keenan was here last week." We said, "What? Yeah, he was here at the Fox Theater." And I guarantee it wasn't to see a play. Anyway. So it happens, I guess, but I didn't like it, So we'll see.
So what do you,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say before Colorado, how do you keep a team engaged for 12 days before playing a game again?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, Carolina are an unbelievably fortunate franchise to have Rod Brind'Amour as their head coach. I think this guy does an unbelievable job. I know they haven't had success after the conference final, but you know what? I think he's done an unbelievable job. And if there's anybody that can keep a team motivated through that length of time, it would be Rod Brind'Amour. It's really challenging. It's really challenging from a timing perspective and just the flow of it and keeping guys interested. It's not easy. And they played so well. I mean, look, honest to God, I picked Ottawa to beat them in the first round. I really did. And I mean, I was so wrong on that. Now, I did pick Montreal to go to the finals. And I'm hoping I'm wrong on that, too, because I like Lindy. So I'm hoping I'm wrong on that. And I picked Minnie to go to the final, and I was wrong on that. So I'm probably hitting at about 40% right now, you know.
What's Lindy thinking about the goaltending right now?
Lindy's got to go with not Lions. He's got to keep him next to him on the bench. In my opinion, he's got to go with the guy.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah, I think he's got to go with him. I really do, and I'm sure he will. Lindy's done a hell of a job. I'm really high. I talked to him after the first round, and
he did.
Yeah, I'll just text, you know. Lindy told me this was his last year. Last summer, he told me this was his last year. He wasn't going to coach anymore. But I think that I'm wondering if this has changed. I haven't asked him if he's changed his mind. He's done a hell of a job there. He really.
The world has changed since then. I mean, yeah. New general manager and being one of the best teams for the last 50 games of the season.
Yeah. So you know, and Lindy's probably close to Lindy'd be late 60s. You know, so it would be interesting to see.
What's he done? What have you seen as far as his fingerprints to be able to make this happen?
I think that there was, you know, I happen to like Kevin Adams. I interviewed with him for an advisor job, and he didn't hire me, but I still like him, you know, and I had him in Columbus as a player. And I went to interview for the advisor job, and the last time I talked to Kevin was the day I traded him. Columbus traded him for Ray Whitney. So anyway, I guess I wish I wouldn't have traded him. But anyway,
did that come up in your conversation in that interview? Did that come up?
No, it didn't come up. Anyway, I think there was a bit, and Kevin has shown that he's made some pretty good trades and some pretty good picks. You know, that's what's sort of come out since, but there was a cloud there over the organization. It was too open to criticism, you know, for missing the playoffs 14 years in a row. And I think not that it was Kevin's fault, but the change, I think it took a huge weight off everybody's shoulders. I think it did. And Lindy, and I've talked to Lindy a lot in the last number of years, and he's never once said one negative thing about the organization. He was, you know, and he believed. I talked to him last summer because he was thinking of hiring an experienced assistant coach. And I had talked to him about a couple of guys. He'd asked me about a couple of guys that I was really familiar with. And he said, I really want to get the right guy because I'm only going to coach one more year. And I'd like to have somebody that could take over. But that didn't happen. He didn't hire us. He stayed with the same people. So I think that the cloud came off, and all of a sudden the confidence level changed. And I mean, some guys have played terrific hockey, and that blue line, I talk about Toronto all the time. Look at that blue line in Buffalo, the talent that is on that back end with obviously Darlene, but you know, the power kid is starting to come. And I mean, they really got a blue line that really can move the puck out of their own zone and create offense. And, you know, obviously Thompson and, you know, look at the Benson kid, you know, what was he, 13th in the draft? I mean, this guy has been really valuable. So they've done some good things, and, you know, it's starting to come around, and they're,
how do you explain though? Game five, they were as flat as a pancake.
I know.
And game six, in the last two periods, they were unstoppable. And Montreal was almost the reverse.
I came out of the junior game and I stopped into a bar at it's called the Brothers 2, and I was having a beer there, Clark and I, and it was 3-3 at the start of the third period. And I thought, oh, great, we're going to see the third period. We're going to see a great third period. Next thing I know, it's 8-3. I don't know. Montreal, you know, both teams have been really bad at home at certain times, and it just, I don't know. I mean, goaltending has been just average on both teams. You know, they've been either really good or really below average. So that can throw it off a little bit.
But in the same game.
In the same game. You're exactly. Like, I would have pulled the the Montreal goalie, and they, or I would have been screaming at Rick Walmsley, poor Rick, you know?
Yeah.
Like Rick used to say to me, oh, he was our goalie coach, and he was just a terrific guy. And he used to come down after, and I said, Rick, what happened on that third goal? He said, it was deflected. I said, can ever a deflected puck hit our goaltender once in a while? Do they all have to go in? So Rick, and then Rick would leave and he'd be all flustered. And the boys would tell me he'd stop at Wendy's on the way home and he'd buy three burgers, three orders of fries and a salami and cheese and go home and eat. He's the only goalie coach I had that gained 50 pounds working for me because I used to yell at him so much. And I love Rick Walmsley. I really, he's one of the greatest, great people in the game, you know. Anyway.
So how do you see Vegas, Colorado? Western final.
I see Colorado as just on top of their game right now. You know, I really do, but I would never underestimate the experience of Vegas and the winning. And I think that Carter Hart's been a great story, you know. I mean, the way he's come on, they desperately needed that, as you know better than I do. I think it'll, I thought Mini might beat them, you know that? I thought Mini might beat Colorado, and then they lost the defenseman, and they lost Eck, and it really hurt their team. That, you know, mm-hmm. really hurt their team. Who was it? Brodin that could hurt, right? Brodin, yep, and yep. Eck, really, it really... They were that important to that team, which really surprised me a little bit. So I would say Colorado wins, but I wouldn't underestimate Vegas. And the coaching change was critical. They had no choice to do it. And I like Bruce Cassidy, and I know he's a good coach, but you know better than I do, Darren. But I talked to George about it. I was at my condo in Florida, and George phones me. He said, hey, I'm walking by your building. He said, I'm with my dog. Why don't we come on out? We'll take our dogs for a walk. So I went out and walked the dog with George, and we had a great chat. So anyway, so that was the week after they made the coaching change. So So I think, there's a good feel there. Tortorella always does. Everywhere he goes, he has that window there of about 3 weeks where they really like him, you know.
This might start a trend, though, Doug, a bigger trend.
I agree, Shanny, 100%. I agree. Well,
Islanders did it right after.
I know, and four games and eight games. I'm with you on that. You know why, though? It's because the game now to make the playoffs. We know how tough it is to make the playoffs, but to make the playoffs is a $10 million check minimum to play in the first round.
Sure.
And that means
explain that to people that don't know the inner workings.
Well, I mean, because you know, the players aren't getting paid. The pay ends when the regular season ends, because they're paid October to April. So the last game of the season is the last paycheck or that time of the year. And you know, it's an opportunity that the gates that are typically double the price. Mm-hmm. And you know, I suspect in the right building, it would be in excess of $10 million a round there, the first round. Then it goes up. I mean, where the ticket prices go after each round is crazy. So yes. It's important to owners, and as well as the NHL's doing financially, because of the values of franchises going up. But the cash flow is still a challenge, trust me, with a lot of franchises. And, you know, it's all about cash flow. Yeah, you've got equity, but, I mean, the Blue Jackets paid $80 million for their team. Mr. McConnell paid $80 million, and they're valued at over $1 billion right now. But cash flow is another issue. Mm-hmm. You know, are you cash flowing positively? And there's lots of teams that aren't, I guarantee you that. So it's a way to recoup some money. And it's a, you know, it may, you're right, Shanny, I agree. It may become a trend. It's that important.
Maybe you should come back as a coach.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I'll just keep doing the odd podcast, but I'd like to do less podcasts too, if the truth was known.
What's your narrative on the Mitch Marner performance?
I said it a lot on Nick's show, and Shanny would know I said it because Shanny never misses a show when I'm on.
He doesn't.
And Shanny could attest to this, that I said it many times last spring, be careful what you wish for. This guy is an unbelievable player. And I'm saying right now, and I would have said this a year ago, he's a top 10 forward in the NHL. He's a top 10 forward with the way he plays a complete game. Yeah, he's had some series where he didn't score in Toronto. I get that. But when you watch what he did for the Toronto Maple Leafs, from getting the puck out of his zone, from carrying, transferring the puck through the neutral zone, the way he sets up his teammates, the way he is on a power play, there's not many forwards like him. And Berube took the fall, and the reason the Leafs become a less possessive puck possession team this year is because they didn't have Mitch Marner every third shift. And I really believe that. He changed. Matthews missed him. Nylander missed him. Morgan Riley missed him. And they all had average years. Nylander was okay, but Matthews wasn't even close to the same player. Injuries, but Nylander was a big part of it. That's my own opinion.
Do you think we'll ever not talk about Mitch Marner as a Toronto Maple Leaf? Seriously, that's all. It must drive everybody nuts.
We will till they take a step. You know, if they come back this year and have another horrific year, we will talk about them when they become a contender. It'll be less Marner then, you know. But I'm telling you, it was to essentially get nothing. Well, they got Waugh for him, but essentially.
Where's Nick Waugh right now? Yeah, he's in the Western Conference final scoring big goals.
Right. And getting Nick Waugh for Marner was a joke. And I like Nick Waugh. I like him. But they had no choice.
Yourself into a corner.
Yeah. It's the same with McDavid when that comes up. And it's the same in Ottawa with Brady Tkachuk. And I was saying on Nick's show last week, I said, the Florida Panthers have the 9th overall pick in the draft. People are telling me the top 10 players in this year's draft are all going to play. A group of young defensemen there, some good forwards, Swede and McKenna. There's 10 guys there. Florida have the 9th pick. Where do you think Brady Tkachuk wants to play deep down?
Yeah.
Well, I would have said St. Louis, but
yeah. And I'm saying Florida. Okay. And when again will Florida have a top 10 pick to trade for Brady Tkachuk?
Yeah.
Maybe not for another 5 years, because when they get healthy with Barkov, there's no way they're picking in the top 10. So if Ottawa want a top 10 pick, which I guarantee you they want in this year's draft for Brady, if they think they're going to get a first round pick, and he's, I mean, I will
you
not
do it
be,
now. You would
I
do
would
it now.
Not be surprised that this doesn't happen before the draft.
Ottawa's saying all the right things.
I know,
Brady.
and I'm just saying. To me, it makes too much sense. Florida have got a couple of forwards they could move in the deal. You know, when they're 100% healthy, they got a couple of good forwards that are really solid NHL players. They've got an extra defenseman they can move, and they've got the 9th overall pick. It makes too much sense for me for it not to happen. But if not, and you go 2 more years, you really have 1 more year, because in the last year they're gonna play it out, you know.
Yeah, and then you're in the same situation that the Leafs were with Marner.
And this is one of the major challenges in the NHL, and this is why Anaheim are signing all their young guys to 8. They're all buying years of free agency, and they're paying a price for it, and you've got no choice but to do it. But you can only do that for so long, because they're, you know, the agents aren't dumb. They want them at 27 years of age to be unrestricted, you know. So it'll be fun to watch. You know, it's a whole different dynamic. I mean, it affects franchises dramatically.
Mm-hmm. You almost wonder if that type of thing doesn't occur more this year, simply because, as you talked about earlier, the lack of free agents, that are high-end free agents on July 1st.
Like, Charlie Coyle was the top centerman available.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? You know? And Charlie had a good year. He had a good year, but he's the number one centerman available. What's that tell you about the free? And then he gets $6 million a year. He's going to be good at 40 with that $6 million a year.
Yeah, they bought too many years.
Yeah.
And I mean, he might have been good at four.
I know what Donnie's up against, because you know they've got to after the debacle this year where they lost their last six home games in a row, and you know they got to you know, it's 6 years now since they've missed the playoffs. I mean, they got to get in. There's going to be pressure there, big time.
Well, and by the way, when you talk about McDavid, you talk about Matthews. Add Zach Werenski to that list. He's 100%. In exactly the same boat. You know?
You're 100% right. And I would not want to see the Blue Jackets without Zach Werenski. Right now, he's a top three defenseman in the NHL. Mm. You know, he's that good. So, you know what? It's fun to watch it when you're not a GM.
No. I saw a bit of you in the Rick Bonus tirade.
So Rick phones me, and I'm in Florida, and Rick phones me and say, hey, we got to get out to dinner. So Rick and I and our wives go out to dinner. We're sitting there, and he's you know, he said, well, did you like Columbus? And I said, yeah, it was a great city, good ownership. I really, you know, it became home. We're there 11 years. The kids all got to graduate. We loved it. Never thought anything of it. And a week later, he's coaching in Columbus.
Oh, he was picking your brain.
I gotta believe he was. He never mentioned it, but he was asking about Columbus.
He was picking your brain.
And he was telling me how much he was enjoying retirement. And he told me that he had rented did a deal with in the yacht club in Boca, where he could get a boat every 2 weeks. He could get this boat, and then they'd go out in the ocean. He really enjoyed it. And he didn't have to buy it. He just had it. You know, he had a deal where he was renting it from a yacht club. So then I read for the next 2 months that he was out on his boat, and Donnie Waddell called him on his boat, and he was really going to miss his boat, and because he was going to fly. And I'm thinking, geez, it was a rental. And they made it. Every time I read an article, it was Columbus, Rick was on his boat, and I'm thinking, oh, no, it was a rental. Just wanted to get the facts in there, you know?
That's good. You're still that journalist getting the facts out there.
Go have a cigar,
guys. Thanks for having me on.
Can you do me a favor though? Can you walk by my place just to make sure everything's okay?
Yeah, no, I will. I will for sure. I guarantee you, there's at least two trees down on your shed, on top of your shed. Probably. Montreal or Buffalo tonight?
I
have no clue.
Who knows?
I don't have a clue.
I know. It really is. It really is tough. Now, I'm torn because I picked Montreal to go to the finals, and I'll look like a genius if that happens, but I'd like to see Lindy win. So
Buffalo leads 1-0 after the first 2 minutes. Yeah,
that's a lock. Yeah. That's one you go to the books with. Buffalo's going to score first in the first minute and a half. Yeah. Now, from a logistic perspective, because I know you guys neither care about this, but there's a lot of people in a lot of different worlds cheering for Buffalo to win.
Yeah.
Because this weekend is F1 weekend in Montreal.
Yeah.
People are talking, and the hotels have been booked for years because F1 hasn't changed. So, like, there are, you know, networks are saying, well, maybe we'll stay in Ottawa and bus.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, interesting.
So there's a few people quietly cheering from a logistics perspective for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, I know. I was devastated about our friend John Garrett. You know, I mean, I didn't know him like I didn't know John like you guys did, but I worked with him at Sportsnet in the playoffs, and he was always such a super guy. But it's funny, when I was the GM of Columbus, and I used to listen to him do our games, and he was such a homer. I used to be so pissed off at him, but then I got to know him, and I really liked him. You know, so I really
he was a homer. He prided himself on being a homer.
And I just thought he was just a super and he and I used to talk about Greg Millen a lot, you know, because they were together in Hartford or something, and you know, to lose both of them in the same year is and Shannon, you know, both of them. Well, Millsy was a great friend. He was my son's godfather. But, you know, lose them both in the same year is pretty sad, you know. But anyway, guys, thanks for having me on. I know you were desperate, and I really appreciate it. And it just it keeps my profile out there, and I need that when I'm trying to sell books, you know.
And condos. And lots.
And lots.
No, we're not, we haven't sold many condos or lots recently.
By the way, I just breaking news, our new apartment building is officially sold out.
Oh,
yeah, so we're thrilled.
Is this the one that's being built or the one that just got built? Because you've got two.
Yeah, we just finished it. It was finished in December 1st.
Okay, so now it's sold out.
Yeah, and then we're starting a new one in August. So it's busy. So anyway.
I don't know how these podcasts are getting in the way of your real estate mogulness.
Well, I'm not that involved in the carpentry on the buildings, but, you know.
That won't stop you from driving by and having an opinion.
Once I get the financing in place, I'm pretty well out of it. Anyway.
Don't forget, before you go to the front deck to have that cigar, go turn off the car.
That's right. Okay. God you reminded me. I was going to have lunch.
Don't forget to turn off the car.
The Jeep.
Okay. JJ will be back having to bring you some fuel and a boost.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. It was great.
See you, buddy. Back with more on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Some news in there, but there's nothing like Doug offering an opinion with a side-by-side compliment. I never liked that guy, but I've heard he's a good dude.
You know, I think that Doug has started to really enjoy being the elder statesman type guy that, you know, when in doubt, let's get Doug on the radio. When in doubt, let's get Doug on the podcast. And without actually going on the air now, he can have all these opinions and not have to be held accountable for them. You know, because when you're in the game and when you're the manager of a team or the coach of a team, you're always held accountable. Right? You're always held accountable.
You know where Doug's great? And I look at it from our point of view. Like, we're not innocent in this. You can have Doug on, and he'll say stuff that we don't necessarily want to say. But he'll go down that path, and then it opens the door, and we talk about it. Is that fair? And that's every show that Doug, that's Kipper's show, that's every show that Doug goes on.
I think that he speaks a little bit of what most people think, and he's not afraid to blurt it out, you know, in a small sense, and I don't want any comments from people on this, in a small sense, he's doing very much what Grapes used to do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, 9 out of 10 people, think something, 9 out of 10 people won't say it. Well, Doug's the 1 out of 10 that will, and does it with such great joy. Nobody has more fun than Doug McLean, honestly. Nobody has more fun, and he loves ribbing you, and he loves poking the bear. There is only one Doug McLean, that's for sure.
And his comments about Greg and Cheech were heartfelt. He's got to work on his transition a bit, but that was from Doug's heart. It really was.
Well, and the floor, like, I'd like to see, you talked about at the opening of the show, seeing the, you know, the graph of the all the topics and where they were. I'd like to see some sort of MRI on brain waves when it comes to Doug McClain's brain waves, because man, oh man, those brain waves are all over the place.
He remembers every time he got fired. I can tell you that.
Oh, well, actually, but we all have been through that. If you're married, because in the end, you don't dislike the people near as much as your wife does.
Right. Yes. Yes. Actually, I've talked to a couple of people who had that same experience. I talked to them and their spouses together, and the energy coming from the spouse was far more elevated than the person that actually got fired.
There's one word for it: vicious.
And it sticks around
forever.
They say Twinkies will be the last thing on earth.
Yeah, no.
Vengeance and bitterness.
That, my friend, is always true.
We'll talk to everybody next time on 100% Hockey. What do we do if we like the podcast?
Well, we have to give a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. You know, and don't forget, you know, hit a like, and yeah, whether it's on YouTube or all the podcast platforms.
What's your favorite?
Right now, I'm an Apple podcast guy right now.
Okay,
but I must admit, I have enjoyed the YouTube stuff too. So it's been good.
Yeah, the YouTube stuff is outstanding. Again, getting great spillover from last week, and Ryan Strom and Alec Martinez. Some great stories in those two episodes. So check those out. That goes along with the storytelling of Doug McClain. Doug could have used some Just for Men into the bubble. Eh?
No, because, you know, gray indicates wisdom.
It does.
Yeah. Says the guy
who's gray. Walking with a limp.
Yeah. Are you talking about me?
No, me. That's me.
You walk with a limp too?
I had time. little hip display.
A hip pointer. I got a hip pointer. There you go.
And with a perfect jab, much deserved, from John Shannon to Darren Millard on 100% Hockey. We'll talk to you next time.